Lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
You're listening to GCN.
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. It happens to be my views. And for the next hour, it's going to be the views of Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd, who's written a fascinating book based upon experiences that he had. And the book is titled Operation Broken Reed. And it's the Truman secret North Korean spy mission that averted World War III. And it's the story of 10 men who actually were involved in this operation. And without further ado, I'm going to let you hear the story from Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd, because he lived this. He was ordered, of course, that he would never reveal what happened until after 1998. Since then, he's been writing the book. And now it's just come forward, and this is the first radio interview he's done, so I'm sure he's going to do great. Anyway, Colonel Boyd, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan.
Why don't you go ahead and just give us the background of how was it that you were picked to be on this super-secret mission, and why did they pick, you know, the 9 other men who went with you, and what was the mission all about?
Well, I happen to be serving in a communications battalion, an army battalion, in Germany, in Bavaria, at the time. And on the 25th of August, 1951, I received notice to appear at the headquarters European Command office and to be interviewed by a colonel from the Pentagon. Well, I was blown away. I had no idea what to expect out of that. And so I kept the appointment and found out that they were selecting 10 men that would become an intelligence team that would go behind the enemy lines in North Korea during January of 1952 with the express purpose of finding information and having that information transmitted back to the United States where it would go directly to President Harry Truman.
And of course, apparently they actually put in about, 21 or 22 Koreans or Chinese there, and they had infiltrated the military units, and they were collecting intelligence, and weren't you actually going to be collecting that from these people and then transmitting it through Morse code, and you were a cryptologist, so your job was to transmit this information that was gathered from the intelligence agents there and, of course, get it back to Washington, D.C., is that correct?
That's correct. There were 22 of the covert intelligence operatives. 14 of them were Chinese. They came from within the ranks of the National Chinese Army. 8 were Korean. They came from within the ranks of the South Korean Army. And all of them were handpicked by a senior member of the Central Intelligence Agency through a classified direct liaison with the Republic of Korea and the National Chinese units, effectively bypassing all the other operations. In other words, this was direct contact. All of them spoke English as well as their own native tongue, and they were involved in an intensive training period prior to going into the mission. And their job was to infiltrate, to acquire information concerning the capabilities, the plans, and what they could find out about both the North Korean army and the Communist Chinese army that happened to be operating in North Korea at that time.
Forward, do you hold that thought? America's going to bring another station on board, and of course they'll lose these stations for just a moment, and then they'll be back again.
With oil at $105 per barrel and counting, we need radical change if we're to avert becoming a third world nation. It's time to jump on the next wave of free energy and radical natural alternative health solutions. Introducing Orgon products. Orgon is the universal life force, the basic building block of all matter on the material planet. Orgon electromedicine is the wave of the future dating back to the late 1800s. Wilhelm Reich Orgon used Cloudbuster technology that can now be applied in your home for dramatic energy savings of up to 25%. The possible uses for this device are only limited by your imagination. For less than the cost of a doctor's visit, you can have a device that could lead to the end of all your problems. Health doesn't need to be expensive or complicated. Simple technology equals profound results at OrgonProducts.org. That's O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. O-R-G-O-N-E products.org. Or call 646-498-5309. That's 646-498-5309.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash. Are you ready?
I, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, I do hereby indict you, Dr. Peter Duesberg, for the deaths of millions of people worldwide through your role in the creation of AIDS.
Dr. Peter Duesberg, are you a mass murderer?
I'm afraid I'm not quite that powerful. I think Dr. Horowitz must have seen Dr. Strangelove once too many times. The retroviruses are the most harmless viruses that we know.
This is George Whitehurst Berry, your host for Crash, Are You Ready? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the most controversial program on the Genesis Communications Network. Find out why. Visit our website at www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
We'll be right back in a... Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd is telling the story of Operation Broken Reed, a top-secret military intelligence-gathering operation that took place. And what was it, 1951 or 52? It was 52 when you went in, wasn't it?
It was 1952, in January, right. 1952.
And so basically you have 10 men. You don't know the name of anybody else. You really don't know anything at all about them. And yet they're going to protect you and save your life, and you're going to have to protect theirs. And so why don't you pick up the story about what happened when you finally get into North Korea, and you're actually sent in by submarine, and then, of course, you go ashore in these little inflatable boats, and then suddenly here in the middle of winter, you're dropped off on the eastern coast of Korea. 10 men and of course, a number of people. Why don't you explain how they anticipated they were going to have this operation work, and why it was that you were supposed to be prisoners of the North Koreans, and actually the people who were guarding you were actually working for our own government. What? How did this whole thing work, and what happened?
Well, the whole setup, Dr. Stan, was that we were supposedly members of a B-29 that had gone down over North Korea in December and had been captured by a recon unit for the North Korean army and the Communist Chinese army that were in operation at that time. And we were taken then, supposedly, to the East Coast. Well, the truth is that we landed by submarine. We didn't come out of an airplane. We landed by a submarine, and that landing was carried out in the Yongjin Bay, which was just north of the battle line. And from there, we journeyed by a convoy, which consisted of a Chinese command vehicle, two Soviet tanks, a couple of modified half-tracks, American half-tracks, and cargo vehicles, and then 66 nationalist Chinese troops. We were supposedly captives that would be taken across the peninsula to the west coast of North Korea, and then there we would be taken by a Chinese gunboat across the Yellow Sea, to where we would land in mainland China, and then we would be captives. Well, that wasn't the course, of course, the real thing, of course. We were really taken by these nationalist Chinese troops, and they became our allies rather than the enemy. So it was quite an adventure all the way across. It was a crossing took a total of 5 days, and we were able to participate in doing what we were supposed to do, that is to collect the information at rendezvous points with these men that had been inserted 6 months prior to that, had been in country, and were operatives within the country. So we were able to gain that information. I then was able to encipher the information and then transmit it out to an airborne receiver, which was in a aircraft orbiting either over the Sea of Japan or the North Korean peninsula, actually south of the DMZ in South Korea. Well, that information then was relayed through the military communications network back to the Pentagon and delivered directly to the president.
Now, basically, what intelligence did you get? What did your informants tell you?
Well, we received information concerning the composition, the amount of personnel, where the units were, their strength, their battle readiness, everything that could be possibly gained in intelligence concerning an enemy force.
And of course, this was the North Koreans, where their
yes,
military was, how many
right.
there were. Go ahead.
Absolutely, the North Koreans and the Communist Chinese units as well. We were able to gain that information, and that revealed an awful lot, because the buildup had been far beyond what anyone could have imagined. They had taken the period of time during a lull in battle to build up their forces, and at the time we were collecting that information, there was easily 1 million men that would be facing the United Nations had they launched an all-out assault toward the north.
Well, of course, the thing is that really was they talk about the United Nations, but it was primarily American soldiers, wasn't it?
Primarily. That's correct.
And, of course, what I never understood is what General MacArthur asked in his book, Reminiscences, why they wouldn't let them bring in the Chinese, the nationalist Chinese from Formosa. Why did they have to send American boys over there to die fighting for Korea when the Chinese on Taiwan were quite willing to go over there and fight and die, because it was an area, of course, that they had a primary interest in, and yet we sent American boys to die rather than, of course, sending the boys from Formosa and Taiwan who wanted to go. That just never made sense to me.
Well, it didn't make any sense to me either.
There's so many things that went on over there, but anyway, of course,
I think it had to do with the ongoing relationship that was going on between the nations, and for them to have the nationalist Chinese involved in that operation may very well have upset some high planning. I don't know exactly why, but it did. That was true. The offer was made by Chiang Kai-shek to use his forces in the war, and that was looked over by the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they said no.
Well, because, you know, there's so many incredible things that happened at that time, and having read MacArthur's reminiscences and a number of books by Major General Willoughby, I think it was, and others, you know, certainly MacArthur wasn't allowed to bomb the supply depots in North Korea. It had nothing to do with the Yellow River. They were far south of the Yellow. Here's where all the supplies were for the Chinese communists and the North Koreans. He wasn't allowed to bomb those. He wasn't allowed to attack the electric generating plants. Of course, he certainly was not allowed to bomb the bridges over the Yellow, where all the supplies were coming in. Cut off the supplies, it would end the war. But everything was seen to be done to prevent him from winning the war. Did you have that feeling, or were you more or less one of these who felt that we just wouldn't dare try to win the war because then we'd be involved in a war?
Well, my feeling about that at that particular time was without any kind of understanding whatsoever of why these decisions were being made. I was frustrated by the fact that everything we had been fed is that the war stopped at the Yellow River, that nothing went beyond that, and that, of course, the restriction as to the use of our forces, particularly the Air Force, beyond the Yellow, was one that a number of people had real problems with.
Well, anyway, as far as the intelligence you gathered, you were finding the number of men that were involved, certainly the position of the North Korean units. Was there anything else that you got in the way of intelligence that influenced what lay ahead?
Well, yes. The second day, by the way, the intelligence was gathered during darkness. We traveled during darkness. During daylight, we were bivouacked at pre-designated spots under a really, really good camouflage. And we fit into the terrain. But those nighttime moves, as we were moving, we were able to contact or be contacted by the operatives. The information was then turned over to two CIA men that were with the convoy. And that information then was given to me for transmission after they had processed it. But it was a hectic situation. The second day, one of the messages that really upset me was to find out that there were Soviet aircraft with atomic weapons in Mukden, at the Mukden base, and that really got my attention.
All right. In other words, of course, the Soviets, of course, the Soviets were actually helping the North Koreans all the time. They were flying some of the planes and advising them, and there were lots of Soviets there. And what we were really doing, of course, was fighting the surrogates. The North Koreans were the surrogates for the Chinese and the Russian communists. But anyway, of course, one of the things you found out then, that there were nuclear-armed planes there. Was that in North Korea? Was that adjacent to North Korea?
Manchuria.
All right, fine. And so basically then, of course, you're traveling and you're riding in these half tracks, half of you in one and half of you with the other. And you're supposedly prisoners, but you're really not prisoners at all. That's the cover that's being used as you're collecting the intelligence. And so things are really going pretty well for the first three or four days, aren't they?
Yes, they did.
All right, and then what happened?
Well, one evening, we were abruptly stopped, and there was a lot of gunfire going on. In fact, there were quite a bit of small arm, as well as what appeared to be mortar fire surrounding our convoy. And that went on for quite a while. And we found out after the fact that a United Nations, and I don't know, probably American, it could have been another nation, a small unit, had attempted to rescue us from that convoy. Of course, our forces had no idea whatsoever that we were in that convoy or what our purpose was, because that was kept from the even the commanders of the field. So they didn't know a thing about it. Well, we found out that that unit was completely killed. I mean, everyone in the unit was killed in that skirmish.
And, of course, the thing was, of course, that they were trying to rescue you. You didn't need to be rescued. I mean, you were actually operating secretly, but, you know, things were going pretty long well there for a time. And then it gets to be, what, about the fifth day or so, you're over already on the other side over there by the Sea of Japan, I guess it is. You know, and so you've gone all the way across the North Korean Peninsula. And then, of course, you know, you're thinking, gee, we're going to be home here before long and all safe and sound, nobody injured. And then something terrible happens. And we're going to be back in just a moment over with Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd. This is one of the most secret of all missions. You've never heard about it before. He was there and probably may well be the only survivor.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
The pressures of everyday life can deliver a serious blow to your health. Stress increases blood pressure, potential heart problems, strokes, ulcers, depression, and insomnia. Stress suppresses your immune system and inhibits weight control. Stress makes you nervous, anxious, or irritable. Introducing Nature's Renewal Supreme Anti-Stress Formula. When you're stressed out or need to ease nervousness, our Supreme Anti-Stress Formula calms simple nervous tension and soothes irritability. This non-drowsy, all-natural formula improves mental clarity and focus. Focus, allowing you to function better and enjoy life at home, at work, or even at play. Call us today, 1-800-383-8474. That's 1-800-383-8474. Or visit us at pncdistributors.com. That's P, the letter N, C, distributors.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Nature's Renewal Supreme Anti-Stress Formula. Get back to feeling well and being well.
It is now time to rein in evil and bring them to justice. Through the authority that has been delegated to us, it is time to destroy the destroyers. The number of the mounted troops was 200 million, the vast majority of the population of the U.S. Though the people of the U.S., where their numbers and influence are strongest, have primary responsibility for reining them in and bringing them to justice, all nations will participate since they reside the world over. They are called Illuminati, elite, proponents of the New World Order. They oppose everything that is God and truth. They are of the line that was disinherited 2,000 years ago. Everything they have built over the centuries, the wealth they have accumulated, the power they have established, the poisoning of the masses, the destruction of the earth and mankind, we will undo through the authority that has now been delegated to us. visit our website at unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com. The message of His kingdom.
That's off right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Lieutenant Colonel Boyd is telling us what happened the fifth day. Everything was fine. They were gathering the intelligence. They were shipping it back. And they were supposedly prisoners. Actually, the men who were guarding them were actually, you know, on America's payroll. But then they were eventually, of course, discovered. And, of course, a heavily armed unit came in and took out. They had two tanks with them, took out the half-tracks. And literally Chinese were there, the nationalist Chinese were guarding them, who were actually protecting them. They were all killed, and seven of the 10 men who were killed. Now, you'd really completed your intelligence operation at this time, hadn't you?
Yes, yes. The last message was sent out hours before we were hit with the T-34 tanks.
All right, fine. Of course, now, of course, you are certainly... you're wounded, and the other two men with you are even worse wounded, and you've got to get, of course, to the place where you're going to be picked up, and of course, what happens? Don't you actually encounter some people there, and you actually have to be engaged in hand-to-hand combat?
No, we had no hand-to-hand combat, not at all, sir. What happened is we arrived at one of the rendezvous, the pickup points, on the LSC, and at that particular juncture, we set up, and it was past sunset. It was dark, and we had a very intense signal light that we carried with us in an emergency kit, which was a bag of sorts that strapped across my back and like a pack. And I was able to take that light up and set it up, aim it toward the sea, and send out an SOS, continual SOS, toward the sea. Well, as it would as we have it, it was right at dawn of the 18th of January when we were spotted by a British warship. I believe it to be the U.S. rather the Cardigan Bay, which was a British warship, a frigate, and they then radioed for a helicopter to come in, which was dispatched from South Korea. The helicopter was able to pick us up off of a shelf, which we were out on, jetting over the sea itself, and then we were able to make it back to South Korea. We were taken directly to a field hospital very near Seoul, and in fact, we landed at Gimpo Airfield.
All right, fine. Of course, you're the only three survivors of this intelligent thing. But of course, nobody can know about it. It's still top secret, and
yes,
we'll
that's
be.
Right.
You couldn't even tell your wife what had happened, could you?
No, absolutely. That's true. For 46 years, I had to keep that to myself, and that wasn't an easy task because I was reliving it. One thing I didn't mention is that on that trip from where the convoy was hit to where we were picked up on the Yellow Sea, that mountain trail, we encountered a communist Chinese patrol. There were five men, and they had all their weapons at sling, and I was carrying a Browning automatic rifle, which I had taken from the half track, and it was in a cradle position in my arms. I was able to switch the safety off and take all those five men down by raking left to right and then back again. The last man on my right went down, and along with the others, they were in the throes of death. I walked over to him, and he was trying to get up. A young man, I suppose maybe not more than 16, 17 years of age. And he kept trying to say something, so I kneeled beside him and was able to pick him up in my arms, and I would put my ear close to where he was trying to say something, and I heard what he was saying, Yin Lin Ni, and he kept repeating it over again, Yin Lin Ni, and he died in my arms. Well, when we, after our rescue, we were back in the field hospital, I talked to an interpreter, and found out what the young man was saying is that I forgive you. and as he died in arms. So I've had trouble with that one for a long time.
Well, now, didn't you eventually go on and get into the ministry?
Yes, I went to Bethel Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, and spent 4 years at seminary, ordained as a minister, went on to become a hospital institutional chaplain, and had another career.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd. And, of course, the information, of course, that the Russians had had planes with nuclear weapons on them had a profound impact upon the decisions that were made by Harry Truman about the progress of the war from that point on. So we're going to be back in just a moment here with Lieutenant Colonel Boyd to explore the implications of what he did and, of course, what they discovered.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case it's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Are you as prepared physically and spiritually as you can be for the uncertainties of 2008-2009? This is Elizabeth Border. You can request a free sample newsletter tracking the police state, both the Protestant and Roman Catholic signs of the great falling away. Just write your request to Post Office Box 8, Bethlehem, Maryland 21609. You can hear our internet program on the Classy Genesis Communications Network, GCNlive.com, 6 p.m. Central, Monday through Friday. You can also hear it on shortwave Friday evenings on 5070, 7 p.m. Central. You can hear us on Saturday and Sunday evenings after Dr. Stan on Rick's satellite. Sometimes Sally Lou and Pat Hockett will slip out of American Babylon to satirize, entertain, and yes, teach you in parable form. If you love the Republic, that old, beautiful America, be sure to tune in to the Divided Kingdom.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is, of course, Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd. And before we go on, Colonel, where can people get copies of your book? And is there a web page they can go to?
Well, it is being sold through all the major booksellers in the country. The major bookstores, they all do carry it, and either they have it in stock or they'll order it, or you can get it through Amazon.com. They ship it out to you within a week. It can be sent directly to you.
All right, fine. Of course, it's to Hurry, his personal story of being part of the secret team that went in, and of course, this has been kept secret all these years. Now, then, of course, what was the significance of the material you found in President Truman's diary, or his log, anyway?
Well, you know, I was surprised when I read an entry that President Truman had made in his private journal just 7 days following the end of the mission, the Operation Broken Reed mission. At that particular time, word out of the Pentagon indicated that that more and more pressure was building in an attempt to break the battle line stalemate through a military action, whether it was within Korea or beyond. The opposing forces were in the midst of a POW exchange dialogue. The front line was very unstable. And on the evening of 27 January 1952, Truman retreated to his private journal. And should I read to you?
Sure, go right ahead, because I think it's significant what he was thinking at the time.
Dealing with communist governments is like an honest man trying to deal with a numbers racket king or the head of a dope ring. The communist governments have no sense of honor and no moral code. The Chinese had asked for a ceasefire during the previous summer to provide an opportunity to import war materials and resupply their front lines. By the way, at this particular point, I want to inject that information was much of the information that he received from the Broken Reed reports. The appropriate course now is to issue an ultimatum with a 10-day expiration limit informing Moscow that we intend to blockade the China coast from the Korean border to Indochina, to destroy every military base in Manchuria, and if there is further interference, we shall eliminate any ports or cities necessary to accomplish our peaceful purposes. This situation can be avoided by the withdrawal of all Chinese troops from Korea and the stoppage of all supplies and war materials by Russia to Communist China. It was perfectly plain that the Soviet government does not want peace around the world. It had broken every agreement made at Tehran, Yalta, Potsdam, raped Poland, Romania, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, and held some 3 million prisoners from World War II as slave labor. Such activities must stop and stop now. The free world has suffered long enough. The Chinese must leave Korea and the Soviets must give Poland, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania, and Hungary their freedom, while halting aid to the thugs that are attacking the free world. Otherwise, there would be an all-out war. Moscow, St. Petersburg, Mukden, Vladivostok, Peking, Shanghai, Port Arthur, Tehran, Odessa, Stalingrad, and every manufacturing plant in China and the Soviet Union will be eliminated. Well, Dr. Stan, I thank God that Truman never took his thoughts to his advisors about blowing the Soviets and the Chinese to smithereens. But there can be no doubt as to the president's frame of mind after he had read the 20 intelligence reports from Operation Broken Reed.
And so basically he had the feeling we should have tried to win the war, but somebody, of course, was able to influence him, and of course, none of this happened, and of course, communism continued as a major threat in the world, and the people of course, Korea, have continued to suffer terribly all these years.
Yes,
well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. You have a question for Lieutenant Colonel Art Boyd, but he certainly lived an amazing experience. Of course, once you have gone something like that, life is never quite the same again. Especially, of course, when you're never allowed to talk about it. And, of course, having killed 5 men, having one of them die in his arms, having seen the futility of war as it's and, of course, realize how men are simply pawns in this whole game. He was told when he went there that, you know, he might never come out. And, of course, he would never be acknowledged for anything he did. There'd be no praise for him. This was all to be kept secret. No one could ever know. Why do you think that they want to keep it secret for so many years after this whole episode was over?
Well, there were a number of reasons, and I go into those reasons in the book itself. But principally, you know, President Truman at that particular time was not a popular president. You recall that.
Right, I sure do.
And really, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, he was around number 2 as far as his overall popularity is concerned. Well, one thing he wanted to do is to make certain that one, he had enough information and the right kind of information to make a good decision, the right decision. And two, he did not want to have interference with this sort of thing. Once the ball started rolling, he wanted to make certain that there was nothing that would stand in the way of gaining what he needed to know as far as intelligence is concerned. That is an item that I think everyone could probably come up with some kind of thought as to what the reasoning was or happened to be. But the president was a rather frustrated individual. Excuse my French, but he was damned if he did and damned if he didn't. And any one of these particular courses of action that he would take. So he was able to obtain the information that he needed, he felt he needed, and then he made a decision.
All right, fine. Well, of course, the name of the book is Operation Broken Reed, and it's subtitled Truman's Secret North Korean Spy Mission That Averted World War III. And, of course, it's your contention that certainly with the Russians having nuclear weapons, that we had retaliated using nuclear weapons, they would have retaliated, and of course, this could have been a terrible, terrible, of course, confrontation. Would that be fair to say, Colonel?
Yes.
Would that be a fair appraisal of your feelings about what happened at that time?
I believe that you've stated it well, sir.
All right, fine. And, of course, well, I read the book. I read your book, so anyway, of course, it's a fascinating book. What sort of response are you getting to your story?
Very, very good response so far. I've had quite a number of reviews that have come in a very positive way. Publishers Weekly, the Library Journal, Kirkus Reviews, a lot of very, very positive reviews, There have been eight reader reviews on the book in Amazon.com, and eight out of the ten gave it a five-star. I've had personal contact with some of the folks that had their relatives in Korea at that time, and their gratitude of what I did was most rewarding. They thanked me for what we had accomplished then. Because in one case, there was a tank commander that was in charge of an operation where they were getting ready to roll. And they thought that they were going to go north again. And then suddenly, at the beginning of March of 1952, the word came down that no, we're just going to hold the line. And sometime shortly after that, he rotated back to the States. That individual felt that I saved his life. So it's those sort of things that make a big difference, and they make me know that what I did was worthwhile.
Well, now, Chris, when you got back, you're married, you have one son. What did you tell your wife about it, or were you ever allowed to tell her anything?
Well, the 46 years went by, and then I hoped to get a letter or telephone call or something telling me, well, you know, you can talk about it now. Although I had been told it was January the 31st of 1998, after that I can talk about it. I had kept that in my mind for 46 years. Well, I let another year slide by, 1940, you know, for 47 years until 1999. And one day I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and let this out. And I had my wife to sit with me in our dining room, and I told her what had happened. For the first time, she understood why there were times that I had to just simply take a walk, or I would break into tears, or why I would thrash around in bed, why I would cry out at night. She didn't understand that. She knew something was going on. But she stayed with me, and through all those years and those trying times. And after I had told her, then she had four words that summed it up. Art, you need help. And then I went to the Veterans Administration and started receiving counseling by VA-appointed psychiatrists for PTSD and also went to the vet center in Knoxville, and a gentleman by the name of Ronald Coffin has been my counselor now for years. And it makes all the difference.
Well, do you have any idea what happened to the other two men who survived the mission?
No. What happened there is we landed at Kempo Field, and we were picked up and taken to the field hospital. And then I said my farewell as they were taken into the emergency rooms, or the emergency huts that they had. And I tried to find out what happened to them after that. I told Colonel Brown, you know, you can trust me. I'll keep it a secret. Just tell me what happened to them. And he said, well, he said, you're not supposed to know, and you will not know what happened. I think they died.
Well, whatever happened to Colonel Brown? Now, for the listeners, of course, he was the man who organized this whole thing. He didn't go on the mission himself, but he primed the men for it. He trained the men for it. He actually probably selected the men for it. But everything was secret, and definitely it wasn't even his real name, was it?
No, I don't believe it was. He's a handsome guy. He stood at 6 feet. I'll never forget the colonel. He was, I would say, in his early 40s. Athletic, dark hair and eyes, very commanding, reassuring, confident man.
But you said, because he was able to go into the White House any time he wanted, he must have been something very, very special. He must have had, I mean, the average colonel is not going to just wander into the White House and go to see the President of the United States. So there obviously had to be some sort of a force behind him.
Well, what he stated is that everyone knew that he had access to the President's office at any particular time, and he was treated as a friend of the President. And they called him, his name was George, and that's all they knew. And he had access to the White House at any time that he needed to go there.
And because this is obviously, there's some force behind George, because you just don't go wandering into President anytime you want to. So whoever put this together, obviously this was very, very important to get this information, and the powers that be certainly were involved in this mission. Of course, the men who went there, the men who died, never really understood what it was all about, but there was something else. In fact, there was always an aura of mystery, wasn't there? I mean, this is the impression I get reading your book. This aura of mystery, everything is secret, and when it's all over, nobody will ever know.
Well, one of the things that Brown said during a debriefing on the 20th of January, before I left Camp Drake and returned to the United States after the mission is over, he looked at me and he says, and by the way, he called me Art. He didn't call me Lieutenant. He said, Art, he says, as far as you're concerned, this never happened. This never took place. You've got to let it go. And it's finished. That's it. And
Did you ever see him again?
No. No. I do know that his carrying hand was there, or somebody's was. Because when I returned to Germany, after being gone for 68 days on a 30-day emergency leave, the reception I had was not a very welcoming reception. My commander really raked me over the coals. Within a week, I was transferred out of the unit I was in to another unit. And my efficiency report dropped to the bottom of the bucket. And at that particular time, there was what is called a RIF, a reduction in force, where if you didn't have a college education and you didn't have a decent OEI, which is Officer Efficiency Index, you were going to be going out. You would be discharged from the service. A reduction in force. Well, I had had a promise, which was made to me before I left Japan, that I would stay in the service as long as I wanted to stay there, unless I was released for cause, which meant that I'd had to be court-martialed or thrown out for whatever cause. Well, regardless of that low OEI and no college education, I was promoted to captain in 1953 and stayed on active duty and continued to serve until 1967 when I retired as lieutenant colonel.
Well, was that about 20 years of service? 22 years of service. So obviously somebody was looking after you, because ordinarily you get a really bad efficiency rating, that's the end of your career.
Well, I expected to be thrown out at any time.
But of course, there was nothing you could do. You had to maintain that secrecy. You could not tell people the truth about what happened. You couldn't tell them anything about what happened.
Well, the reward for telling someone, if you want to call it that, is what do they call it? Three hots in a cot.
Right.
which meant that I would have been serving the rest of my life in Leavenworth.
Right.
And I didn't want to take that journey.
And, of course, the difficulty is, it's certainly, I really don't like all this secrecy that they have when, of course, they can't let other military people know. They can't let the American people know. We do so much in secret, and we have to ask why. And why it would be important from 1952 until 1999 to actually, you know, let this story out. Now, actually, what happened? Did you ever check with anybody to make sure you could write the book? Did you ever have this cleared by the military?
Well, what I did is there's a long list of people that I contacted. I wrote letter after letter, including the President of the United States. And by the way, Congressman John Duncan picked a copy of what I had written as a after-action report and took it to the President. Well, since I didn't hear any negative coming back, I figured that it's okay to go ahead, and I did.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment. Our guest today is Lieutenant Colonel Arthur Boyd, and, of course, his book, Operation Broken Reed. Fascinating story. I think probably we'll take it. My wife suggested we carry it here so you can get a copy of it. It reads like a real adventure story, only it's real. And a story of heroism and tragedy. We'll be back in just a moment.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
And then, of course, your military career, the book follows the course of your military career, until this one fateful day when you're summoned to one of the headquarters over in Germany and being told that you have been picked. You were going to be asked to volunteer for this assignment. Of course, you knew that they'd already picked you, and one way or the other, you were going to volunteer for it because that could very well have ended your military career. But, of course, because you did do it, why, of course, you were able to fulfill your obligations and retire as lieutenant colonel. Do you have any hesitation about what happened? As you look back on it, do you ever wish that maybe you hadn't been chosen?
Well, yes. I'd be less than honest to say that there have been a lot of times that I wish that I hadn't done what I did, because it was a foolish thing, being that, you know, I would have, no doubt, if I had been killed, left a wife and a young boy.
But did you ever stop and think
that would be a regret?
But did you ever stop and think that maybe God had a purpose in the whole thing?
Well,
that He preserved you, you know, but the others were so severely injured.
I've questioned that. Why didn't I die at the same time that they did?
Well, I think God has his hand on certain people there, and of course, at a certain time in their life, why perhaps they can do his bidding. And I know that you, as a chaplain now, certainly out there, having got your divinity degree, are touching people's lives, and I hope that this book will touch their lives as well.
Well, I hope it will be an awakening of the tragedy of war.
Amen to that. Well, Colonel, thank you so very much for being with us. I really appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course, I hope you enjoyed the interview. We do talk during the breaks, and if you'd like to get a CD or a tape of the program, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, we will get some copies in, and it's $26.95. Fascinating reading. Just riveted to it as it takes you, right across the peninsula there of Korea in the middle of a war. And of course, at any moment they could be discovered and they could be slaughtered. And of course, 7 of the 10 men who were with him were killed. And of course, all of the Chinese, about 60 of them who were there to protect them, lost their lives as well. War is a terrible thing. And you really must understand that almost all of the wars we have fought, in fact, not almost all of the wars we fought, have been fought for far different reasons than the men who fought and bled and suffered and died were ever allowed to know. We have a talk called Iraq, The Untold Story, but it's really the story of all the wars of the last century. And we recommend it to you, starting with the Spanish-American War, and then the Boer War, and then the other wars that took place. So if you'd like to get our talk, and it comes with an excellent syllabus, because it has many of the documents in it, many of the original documents you'll never read any place, going to how American corporations and banks and officials built up Adolf Hitler before the Second World War and helped him during the Second World War. And Henry Kissinger's famous statement, military people are just stupid, dumb animals to be used for foreign policy purposes, and so much more information you're never going to get elsewhere. And you suddenly begin to realize that Vietnam was a no-win war. We were funding the North Vietnamese indirectly by funding the Russian communists, we're funding the North Vietnamese, we're funding the Viet Cong, who are killing our boys. Just as today, we're funding the Pakistanis, who are funding their intelligence, ISI, that is funding the Taliban, who are killing our boys. And it's deja vu all over again, and it doesn't make sense unless there is another factor, unless there's an X factor there that people don't recognize. And, of course, it took me 20 years, not until 1982, that I began to realize the occult organizations working behind the scenes. They're here, they're functioning today, and you probably never heard of most of them. So if you'd like, of course, to get my talk on the forbidden secret or my talk on the secret knowledge, they're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We certainly have a three pamphlets called The Occult Hierarchy. The Occult Hierarchy, and there is an occult hierarchy that rules the world. If you doubt that, we'll be glad to give you one of their publications. It's called The Workings of the Spiritual Hierarchy. And if you get any of our other items, you can ask for that. We'll be glad to give it to you. Only then can you begin to understand the genocidal agenda that's being carried out today in Africa, being carried out in Europe, for instance. Did you know that certainly Europe is dying off? Russia is dying off. There are far more people die every year that are being born over there. There is a genocidal agenda. They call it population control. They call it family planning. But it is really a conspiracy against humanity, because there really are people who hate humanity. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage is radioliberty.com. Go there. Listen to our programs, and you can hear our internet programs 4 hours a day there, 9 hours a day all told, from the satellite feed. You can read our newsletters. They're free. You can watch our videos. We have a great new section called Other Videos. We want you to go there. We want you to watch Building 7 come down. We want you to watch the Twin Towers come down. and watch very carefully what you'll see. Because, believe me, a picture is worth a thousand words. So remember our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage, radioliberty.com. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders. And please.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful, attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower month.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770.